Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelall. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. The South Shore's Morning News continues. I'm Rob Hackelow with the morning team. And every week at this time, we check in with our tech guy, David Snell, over at Act Smart IT in Wareham. David, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Rob.
All right. Well, this is going to be an interesting topic here, television and how five major streaming services are cracking down, or not, on password sharing. And, of course, Netflix, I imagine, comes to mind. That's the one we've been hearing a lot about in the news.
It really is. And it's interesting when you look at Netflix and their process of how they charge now, their plans and prices. They charge anywhere from $19.99 a month for the premium service down to $6.99 a month for a basic service with advertising. And that's what people want to get away from, is the ads for streaming, for the most part, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine that wouldn't be a popular option, but maybe if it's the only thing you can do. I was wondering, so a lot of these, do they have tiered services, or is it more of just Netflix right now?
No, many of them have tiered services, but Netflix is the one that has the most tiers, and they're adding a new tier by the end of next month for people who share their Netflix passwords.
Okay. And this is the where it comes down to stop sharing the passwords, or at least they're trying to get away from that.
Right.
Because right now you can have, well, I'm not sure how many it is, but there can be a few people, right, that can share one password.
Right. You can share them with people outside of your household, which is what Netflix is trying to crack down on. So they're going to be watching us and deciding to add a fee to our monthly Netflix account, anywhere from, and this isn't decided yet, nobody really knows, I see estimates from $2.99 a month to $5 per month per additional home or fee outside of your environment. And they're going to do that by checking your IP address.
Uh-oh.
And seeing where you're streaming from, because the IP address is assigned to a location.
Okay. So that's how they'll know that you're not in the same household.
Correct. And even if you use Netflix on your phone, what they will be doing to get around that, because it's not going to be always the same IP address, is they're going to make you verify, just like anyone else, that you are the person that you are to the account that you belong to.
Okay. All right. So no way to get around that, or at least for now. I'm sure people will try. We'll leave that up to, a different topic. Now, David, this would be, it was still better than, okay, because right now you could share, you know, I could share my password with you, I guess, for example. But if I added someone on for a smaller fee, it would still be better, I guess, than making you go out and get your own, or making myself get my own full account.
Exactly right. So if you're going to share it with a family member that doesn't live in your same household, and it costs you $5 a month, it's still cheaper than any other tier that Netflix has.
Yeah.
So it would be wise to do that. And Netflix, they expect some folks to leave and quit using Netflix because of these changes. But they've tested this in other countries and found that, obviously, what they're doing this for is to increase their income, and found that even though they have some loss of clients, they have many other people pick up on these tiered family plans or family shares, so they're making more money, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. I mean, I guess you have so many, you do it this way in the beginning, and you just want to get as many people to sign on to Netflix, and then you reach a certain plateau, and you're, well, we're not getting as much people signing on anymore. Maybe you've reached most of the people that want to do it, and so what do you got to do? You got to divide up the people.
Exactly. One of the major factors of this was when everyone went into COVID lockdown. They signed up for Netflix, they signed up for all kinds of streaming services because they were locked down in their home.
Yeah.
But now that the lockdowns are no longer in place, they're not at home watching Netflix all day long.
Yeah, they're out doing other things. Okay. So, yeah, some of that, you know, some people may have just come on for a little bit, and they maybe they ended up stopping it because they're not using it all the time. So I guess this is the way it's going to be, and this is the way it will go forward probably for most services. Will they do this? Because you say cracking down or not.
Yeah, well, most services will allow you to share some components of the service, but for instance, live TV is not one of the shareable items. We're looking at HBO Max allows users to share their passwords, but that streaming service is going to be changing rapidly because in this early spring, we're going to have HBO Max merge with Discovery Plus.
Oh, boy.
So that's going to create a new streaming service set to launch earlier this summer. Unclear what that's going to cost, but I subscribe to both of them, so hopefully I'm going to get some kind of a break when they merge.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. Does that mean you get one or HBO Max, Discovery Plus? Okay. Yeah. What is it? HBO. Who owns HBO Plus? HBO Max. No, HBO Max and Discovery Plus. They're going to merge?
Discovery Plus.
Okay.
They're merging. Yep.
Okay.
They'll be merging.
All right. So maybe you can watch all of that stuff, but then what will that be? That might change. Hulu is on here?
Yeah, but Hulu lets users share their passwords, but they're very strict on sharing live TV. But they may come up with a program like Netflix once they see how successful or unsuccessful Netflix is with their multi-tiered selection now.
Okay.
And the same with Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
You know, you can add members for free with some restrictions.
Okay, and Apple TV is on here.
Apple TV does what they want to do. Apple TV is Apple.
Yeah.
So there's a family sharing feature which allows account holders to share video access for up to 6 users for free.
Okay,
so that's not bad.
No, and so it's not too bad. But the thing is, you're right. I guess the question you were asking is how many of these do you share? And we didn't even mention, you know, others. I guess like Disney. Or whatever else is out there.
Peacock. There's all kinds of sharing services, streaming services out there. Who knows what you want? You know, this. I think back to when I was watching TV back in the day, when we had 3 channels, and when TV was over for the day, you get to watch the test pattern.
Yeah, that was it. 24-hour programming was not considered initially necessary. I mean, who would be up,
exactly.
Right? Shut it off.
You go to bed early. Don't just shut off the TV. That just doesn't happen anymore.
No. And you're right. I think a lot of us, including me, guilty of having to have, more than a couple of streaming platforms. I mean, obviously, I couldn't help with the Paramount Plus there because it's basically a Star Trek channel for me. So. That's where that lives. So yeah, I've been doing that. But yeah, there's obviously a lot of stuff out there, and you're right. You know, is TV better or not better? I guess that's the question. We'll leave it out for people to wonder whether you would like to have the old days of just a TV. You pay for it, and once you get that antenna, David, it's all set. No
exactly
more
right.
Monthly fee at all. Well,
exactly. And you know, with all these thousands of streaming services and programs available, Pam and I still have a hard time finding something to watch.
I notice that sometimes, yeah. It is true. When you start to look for something, sometimes you say, yeah, nothing's good on. Then you end up going back to something old anyway that you like. Like for
exactly.
Me, let's put in another Star Trek. I can never get on. Okay. David, where can people go to read the article?
Go to xsmartit.com and click on my blog link.
All right, David, xsmartit in Wareham. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Robert.
Time now on WATD for our Paws and Claws segment. This is the time where we focus on the pet and animal world. We do it every Tuesday at this time. And this segment is proudly sponsored by our friends at the Clean Team. Even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. Call the Clean Team to take care of fur, furniture, paw tracks, tiles, and all sorts of catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. Visit thecleanteam.net. That's thecleanteam.net. Our special guest in studio this morning, we want to Welcome back, a return guest, and that is Tiffany McNeil. She is the founder of Buddy and Friends Animal Rescue. It's in Pembroke, buddyandfriendsma.org, where furry tales come true. And Tiffany, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning.
Good to see you, and we thought this would be a great time to check in again with you and go over some items to discuss this morning, including some pet news we want to get to. And we also should mention, I believe, our pet of the week is featured from Buddy and Friends Animal Rescue in Pembroke.
Yes.
That is correct. So tell us a little bit about, again, just to kind of reset for those that don't know, about your organization, Tiffany, and the story behind it.
We're a nonprofit rescue based out of Pembroke. We essentially rescue mainly dogs. We do help with other animals when asked, and we pull all of our dogs from Tennessee. It's a pretty rural area. Mm-hmm. We pull approximately 10 dogs a week, kind of like the revolving door that doesn't stop.
Yeah.
We've been opened for 2 years. In the 2 years, we've helped rescue approximately 420 dogs in total, adopted them out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems crazy.
A lot.
No, it is a lot of dogs.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was so high.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's a lot.
Well, congratulations on that. That's good news.
Yeah, it is.
And tell us about why you started this. Why did you want to do this?
I honestly started cleaning kennels when I was about, I would say, 14, 15 years old at the Quincy Animal Shelter, and it's always really been a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
One thing led to another. I met my southern partner through another rescue. That rescue, unfortunately, had kind of closed up shop, and I knew that I essentially had the experience behind it to be able mm-hmm. to open a rescue and to help her out. We also own two rescues. Buddy, he's an actual dog.
Okay.
We got him from a rescue. Wasn't really good living conditions, though, that he was in. So we just try to, you know, better ourselves take positive feedback, criticism, whatever we can get to make sure that we're running a good rescue.
Mm-hmm. And how do you fund everything? Is this through donations?
Through donations. We have a lot of events that we try to plan, but mainly donations. People are really great. We don't usually have to ask the public for help with funding, but usually when we do, it's essentially they usually know that, you know, we're kind of in a bind and we need some help.
Okay.
Just recently, there was a dog that we had to help pay for surgery down south, three dogs that we just put through board and train, so it adds up. In a matter of a week, we spent $7,000. So it's,
wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Wow. Well, our pet of the week this week is Brenda the puppy, and she is featured up on our webpage, 959watd.com. And from what we understand, Brenda has a lot of energy and is amazing, I guess, and is very young, I understand.
She is. She's 5 months old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she's a German Shepherd mix. She's already potty trained. She's a great, great dog. She gets along with other dogs. She loves people. She's a really outgoing puppy.
Wow. Okay. Well, we want to make sure that she gets a nice forever home, and you can get in touch with Buddy and Friends Animal Rescue in Pembroke if you're interested in Brenda. Now, you also mentioned you wanted to talk about some news, right? Is that correct, Tiffany?
Something. We have a new tab on our website called the BFAR News.
BFAR News.
Within that tab, essentially, it has what we have going on. We do have a local event coming up at Article 15 Brewing in Rockland. It's called Find Me Somebody to Love. And Buddy is actually supposed to be kind of essentially like the dog, right? You're looking for
So
you're finding somebody to love.
I like that. Somebody to love.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. I won't sing anymore. Yeah. But anyway, that's going to be a good event.
Yep. It's Saturday the 11th, and it's from 1 to 5. We plan to have approximately around 15 dogs there. So it's going to be a pretty large event. It's, you know, family friendly. So we do encourage families to come. Please bring your children. We'll have plenty of stuff for them to do. We'll have food, games. We'll even have a kissing booth for the dogs. People can join in if they'd like. But it's, you know, it's overall going to be a great, fun event for everyone.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's coming up on February 11th. You say, yeah, February 11, 1 to 5 at
Article 15.
Article 15 Brewing in Rockland. Okay. And then down the tab, you also want to mention the story about Gretel.
I wanted to, I'm going to try not to cry when I talk about this.
Okay.
So Gretel was essentially, in the state of Massachusetts, we have very strict laws that us rescues follow. We have to register every year with the Massachusetts Department of Ag.
Okay.
We're also registered with the Attorney General's office, and we're all held to a standard. Unfortunately, Gretel's family did not know that these laws exist and that you should be using a rescue that is Massachusetts licensed. And Gretel, unfortunately, she did not have any vaccinations done, no blood work. She essentially was brought up around when she was 2 months old, and she was extremely, extremely sick. A few weeks after she came up, her mom found out that she had stage 4 kidney failure and that she was essentially born with it. So the rescue, knowing that she was sick, they honestly should have done blood work, and they didn't. So ultimately, it ended in heartbreak. Oh. Gretel, unfortunately, had to be euthanized. Ooh, sorry.
Oh,
2 weeks ago.
No, it's awful.
And, you know, I've personally been dealing with her family, and to listen to the heartbreak that a family has to go through when they think that they're getting a 2-month-old perfectly healthy puppy, and that puppy essentially turns out to be a case like Gretel, it's heart-wrenching, especially when there's children involved. They don't really understand. So I just, you know, Gretel essentially is going to be the face of a new campaign that we're going to be running. We have the approval of the Massachusetts Department of Ag. We're essentially going to be running this campaign, as Gretel will be the face of it, to help raise awareness to people that, you know, there are Massachusetts registered rescues. There is actually listed on our website, further down beneath Gretel's story, there's actually a link to the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture's website that lists out all of the approved rescues in the state of Massachusetts. We're just held to a higher standard. We vaccinate our dogs. We're, you know, doing blood work if it's necessary. We don't adopt out sick dogs. All the dogs, essentially, if they're coming up from the south, are supposed to go through quarantine. So essentially picking up a dog off the side of the road in Connecticut or Rhode Island isn't ideal. Your dog essentially would go through a quarantine facility in the state of Massachusetts.
Okay.
You know, it's just, if we could just save one family from the same heartbreak that Lisa and her family had endured, it just makes all of it worth it for us. To kind of raise awareness and make people aware that, you know, this kind of thing that we'll call it a quote-unquote rescue, that's just not something that is allowed. So we're not allowed to mention the rescue's name that was behind this, because it is currently, they're involved now with the USDA for transporting a sick dog across state lines. They're involved with the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture. It's just, it's kind of a legal thing going on at the moment. So
they'll, they're obviously the responsible party in this is the, they did, I mean, did they do this knowingly?
I guess they knew that she was extremely sick, but they never did anything to find out why she was as sick as she was.
Okay. All right. So what should people know then? Should they go to that website always first?
People should always go to that website. If you're working with a reputable rescue, and if they are approved by the state of Massachusetts, they will be on that website. If they are not on that website, you can reach out to the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture directly, and ask them if the rescue that you're working with is in the process of being registered. But 90% of the time, if they are not on this list, they are not an approved rescue.
All right. Approved shelter and rescue organizations, and you can find that. You can find the link from your website, right?
Yep.
And the
it's right below Gretel's story.
You go to buddyandfriendsma.org and then click on the Be Far News tab. You'll see the photo and Gretel's story, and then it's right there at the bottom there. So that's some education that you would like to be sure that people know about to prevent this from happening.
So in memory of Gretel, we have, every year we do Mass Vest a Dog. We essentially are given one dog, just like we did Philo last year. This year we're going to be doing a Weymouth dog. His name is Chuck. He is currently with Weymouth Police Department, and we will be vesting him in the memory of Gretel.
Oh, wow. Well, that'll be a special event, I'm sure, and that'll be happening this year?
Yes, it will be happening within the next month or two.
Okay.
We're in the process of raising funds for the vest now.
Okay. BuddyandFriendsMA.org is the website for people to go and find out more about Buddy and Friends Animal Rescue, and also to learn more about, as well, the importance, again, as we talked about making sure there's an approved shelter and rescue organization. Make sure that the person or organization you deal with is approved, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Tiffany, thank you for coming in today, and good to see you. Tiffany McNeil is the founder of Buddy and Friends Animal Rescue in Pembroke. BuddyandFriendsMA.org. She's been with us as part of our Paws and Claws segment this week. Thank you, Tiffany.
Thanks, Rob.
And good morning. We continue on the South Shore's Morning News. I'm Rob Hackelo with the morning team. Great to have you with us. In this segment, as promised, we have best-selling author Cassandra Clare on the line this morning. She's author of the number one New York Times, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, and Publishers Weekly best-selling Shadow Hunter Chronicles. We're going to talk about Chain of Thorns. And this, I understand, is the epic conclusion to the Last Hours trilogy. Cassandra, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you here on WATD. And I understand also, since we're here on the South Shore of Massachusetts, I understand you have some Massachusetts connections yourself. You're based out of the western part of the Commonwealth, correct?
That is correct. The Five College area.
413. Well, good to have you on WATD. And thanks for joining us. And this is going to be well, I guess it's bittersweet, right? This is the epic conclusion to the Last Hours trilogy. So tell us about this series, first of all, for those that may not be familiar with the Shadow Hunters novel, because you don't have to read any of the other series. Is that correct?
No, you don't. This is the third book in a trilogy called The Last Hours. There are other books set in the same world, but you don't need to read them to understand this one. It is the Shadow Hunters series is sort of about a group of people who have been sort of magically charged with being killers of demons. Demons who sort of spill into our world, have, you know, sinister intent, like to murder people, and these are people who hunt those demons. That's their job. So this is set in 1903 in London. It's a very, like, sort of shadowy, fog-bound London, and our main characters discover that someone is committing this sort of series of murders. They're very Jack the Ripper-like. I did a lot of sort of research into the Jack the Ripper murders, so most people are familiar with those. It's very similar, and so at first they think, you know, maybe this is another murderer like Jack the Ripper, but it turns out that there is a more supernatural explanation, and so they dive into solving this mystery and figuring out, you know, what is the intended purpose of killing these people, because this is not, you know, someone who is murdering because they're a serial killer. This is a supernatural entity who is, you know, causing these deaths because they're trying to accomplish something. And what is that thing they're trying to accomplish, and how can the Shadow Hunters defeat, you know, this evil? Sort of the big question of the series.
Wow, yeah. And so we need these Shadow Hunters to protect regular people like you and I, right?
That's the idea. I mean, I often think that that would be nice. I'd like a personal Shadow Hunter assigned to me, maybe, you know, instead of an alarm system. Be a lot less expensive. Yeah, the idea is, you know, 1,000 years ago, they were charged by a specific angel to, you know, protect humanity from demons. And most humans, ordinary people like you and I, we can't even see these demons. We don't know that they're there.
All right.
The Shadow Hunters do, and they sort of keep the world clear of demons.
Wow. Okay. All right. So we've got Chain of Gold. Chain of Iron. Chain of Gold, Chain of Iron. And this is the conclusion, Chain of Thorns. And so tell us about the character Cordelia. Tell us a little bit more about her.
Cordelia is a young woman who is half Persian, and she ends up in London because a great scandal has happened in her family, sort of ripped her family apart, and then she's gone to London to kind of defend her father, who's been accused of a terrible crime, and she believes he's innocent, and she wants to kind of beg for, you know, a trial for, you know, for him to be, you know, released, to be considered innocent. But when she gets there, she gets caught up in this big, you know, murder plot. She falls in love. Unfortunately, the man she falls in love with is engaged to someone else. You know, there's lots of blood, gore, and interpersonal drama.
Wow. Well, okay, so now this is the conclusion of the series. So what's that like for you? I mean, I know you've got multiple series, multiple books, but, you know, seeing this one, which has been very successful, come to a conclusion, how do you feel about this?
Oh, it's definitely bittersweet. And, you know, I was thinking the other day that I had started the series in 2019. And so for a long, you know, time, I kept, you know, these characters were sort of my only companions other than my husband, who would like to remind you that he also was there.
Yes.
During the pandemic, you know, I couldn't, I often would get together, pre-pandemic I would get together with my friends and we would write together, but, you know, after that, I was, you know, alone for a long period of time. Sometimes I would we'd talk to my friends on Zoom, but, you know, for a long time, you know, I feel like these characters were my main companions. And so, you know, when I finished Chain of Thorns and had to put it away, I kind of felt like saying, you know, thanks for being there for me during the pandemic.
Wow. Yeah. You're right. I mean, so many different writers. I was thinking about those pandemic years and months. And I imagine because normally, as you said, you got together with writer friends or whether it's going around, I imagine with the usual normally meet and greets and author talks and all of that to be kind of a different world. And maybe for the first time ever since you started writing to be like that.
Yeah, no, it was something that was a huge adjustment to try to, you know, figure out how to do this stuff, you know, completely alone. And it was, you know, very lonely, and having, you know, those characters there was definitely something that was helpful. But I think that there are sort of themes of loneliness and alienation in the book that are probably connected to, you know, feelings I had that we all had during the pandemic. I think, it, you know, it can't help but touch your work.
Yeah. Now, Cordelia, you were telling us, is someone that spent a lot of her life traveling around the world. And I was just reading in your biography as well. You had a lot of that experience. Is that correct? From when you were born, traveling around?
I was born in Iran, actually. My father was working there, and from that point, we did a lot of traveling, a lot of pictures of me as like a baby in a backpack, and we're like in Nepal or India. My parents are fearless travelers, and they took me everywhere.
Wow.
And so I would, you know, often spend time, you know, away from or out of school, and my mother would teach me, and she had a sort of eclectic way of like passing along knowledge, like my father was teaching at the London School of Economics, and some other would take me around London, and we would visit, you know, different places, and she would, you know, tell me about their history, and that was sort of how I learned, and I think it gave me a real love of travel, and it also helped shaping the character of Cordelia, because I know what it's like to move around from place to place, and it is, there are real benefits, you know, in terms of learning, but there's also, when you're a kid, it can be quite lonely.
Yeah.
So I think that was a lot of what I was sort of putting into Cordelia, was this real longing for friendship and bonding with her peers.
Cassandra Clare is with us today. This is Chain of Thorns, and this is the epic conclusion to the Last Hours trilogy. And so this is now available in stores and online, right?
Actually, it's available Tuesday, so it's out the 31st. But, you know, you can go into any, as of the 31st, you go into any Barnes & Noble, any Target, Walmart, they'll have it. Or if you want to support your local indie bookstore, of which we have many wonderful bookstores in Boston, you know, go ahead and do that. Just walk in, tell them you want the latest Shadowhunter book. They'll know exactly what you mean.
Cassandra Clare. CassandraClare.com is her website, and you can read all about her there and find out more about all the different series of books. Cassandra, thank you so much for coming on the program today and sharing a little bit about your series and yourself. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Well, thanks so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.